again.
I must say that this was one of the my favorite topics that I put together of all the ones that I've done. This one spoke to me most. The title of my message this morning is From Promise to Fulfillment, Bridging the Old and New Testament. I learned a lot. Sometimes you think you know the subject quite well, but I learned a lot from putting this together. Scripture verses, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The next scripture is coming from the New Testament. I wanted to do one from both the Old and the New Testament because I'll be talking about both. Luke 2:11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The purpose of my message this morning is threefold. I always have to kind of organize myself. I always find out that it's difficult for me if I don't have an outline to follow. And then I end up not really following it anyway. The first point this morning will be to explore the connections between the Old and New Testament and how they reveal God's plan. My second point will be understanding the Bible as one cohesive story. Third, to explore key themes across the Testament: promise, prophecy, fulfillment, covenant, and redemption. The Bible is a tapestry woven from two testaments, the Old and the New, each distinct yet profoundly connected, forming a unified story of God's relationship with humanity. There are approximately 400 years between where the Old Testament ends and the New Testament picks up. The Old Testament represents a significant transitional period during which Jewish people hoped for a Messiah. And at this point, it was just intensified in their prayers and calling on God to reveal what's next. It's always, what's the next step? The Old Testament, also known as the Hebrew Bible, is a collection of ancient texts written over approximately 1,000 years. So it took 1,000 years from the beginning, from Genesis to Malachi, for this to be written. So you can imagine across during that time, a lot of people were born and died. And a lot of people who were involved in this are no longer there. So we just have to depend on the written word. Its history is deeply tied to cultural, religion, and political developments of the people of Israel. The Old Testament lays the foundation, revealing God's covenant with his people through laws, prophecy, and the history of Israel. The New Testament was written over a period of 50 to 70 years. So can you imagine? And one thing about that, you know that they were scribes. They were writing by hand. We didn't have any typewriters or computers to do that. They were actually writing by hand. And if you've ever had to do that, you'll know. The New Testament begins by connecting Jesus' life to the Old Testament prophecies, emphasizing the continuity of God's redemptive plan. The New Testament fulfills this foundation in the person of Jesus Christ, embodying grace and the promise of salvation. Together, they offer a narrative of redemption where the shadows and symbols of the Old Testament find their ultimate clarity and purpose in the light of the New Testament. The Old Testament contains several prophecies that Christians usually traditionally interpret as foretelling the birth of Christ. The prophecies are seen as fulfilled in the New Testament accounts of Jesus' life, in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. Here are some key examples. The first prophecy about Jesus' birth and comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 7:14, which I just read. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The sign will the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. Now, the fulfillment of this prophecy is found in the New Testament, Matthew 22-23. The Gospel of Matthew connects the prophecy to Jesus' birth to Mary, a virgin, with the name Emmanuel. The second prophecy in the Old Testament is one that says, "The born in Bethlehem." But you, Bethlehem, is notable because this is the town where David was born. Thus, the promised king and Messiah would be of David's lineage. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient time. And that's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And the fulfillment of this prophecy is found in the New Testament. And it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as narrated in Matthew 2, 1 and Luke 2, 4 through 7. Another prophecy about the birth of Jesus is from the line of David. The prophecy states a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his root, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Isaiah 11, 1 through 2. The fulfillment of this prophecy comes in both Matthew and Luke, tracing Jesus' genealogy to David's son, David's father, David and his son Jesse. That's fulfilling that promise. Another prophecy was, or is, a star and kings paying tribute. The prophecy says, a star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And that's Numbers 4:24-17. And the meaning of this is that the star symbolizes a leader or ruler shining brightly and guiding and victorious figures. In ancient cultures, the star often represented kinship of a divine favor. The term Jacob refers to the nation of Israel, as Jacob was renamed Israel and became the father of the 12 tribes. A scepter in this symbolizes royal authority, signifying governance and dominion, which suggests that Israel would produce a powerful and sovereign ruler. The fulfillment of this prophecy comes from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. The star followed by the Magi, and it's linked to this prophecy symbolizing Jesus' kinship with David. The next prophecy is that was prophesied in the Old Testament about Jesus was great suffering around his birth. The prophecy states, this is what the Lord said. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning a great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And that's Jeremiah 31, 15. In summary of Jeremiah 31, 15 is a powerful image of wailing and mourning, both historically tied to the Babylonian exile and linked to the future events, including the coming of the Messiah. It underscores God's awareness of human suffering and his commitment to eventually restoration and hope. The fulfillment of this prophecy, the slaughter of the innocents ordered by King Herod, described in Matthew 2, 16 through 18, is seen as fulfilling of the prophecy. Herod ordered the killing of all male children ages 2 years and under in Bethlehem and its vicinity. This act was supposedly carried out to eliminate the threat posed by the newborn Jesus, whom Herod received as a rival king after learning of his birth from the Magi. And the last prophecy I'll talk about is call out of Egypt. The prophecy states, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. And that's coming from Hosea 11:1. The verse reflects how God's love and care for Israel, depicted as the child. So Israel is now the child. It recalls the historic deliverance of Israel from slavery in Egypt, emphasizing God's faithfulness and fatherly relationship with his people. The fulfillment of this prophecy comes from Matthew 2:13-15, recounts the flight of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus to Egypt and their return, connecting it to Hosea's word. The connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament on the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus serves as a profound link between the Old and the New Testament, demonstrating the unity and continuity of God's redemptive plan. I know most of you have heard from time to time that a lot of people don't believe that the Old Testament has any truth. It's just a story. Okay? The Old Testament prophesies the coming of the Messiah, while the New Testament reveals the fulfillment of the prophecy through the birth of Jesus. This connection underscores the Bible's cohesiveness, and its narrative is rooted in divine promises and fulfillment. God's covenant with David and Samuel 7:12-13, promised that the Messiah would come from the line of David, and he did. The New Testament begins with a gospel account of Jesus' birth, presenting it as a culmination of centuries of divine promises. And again, it took them 1,000 years. They waited a long time to hear from God regarding this fulfillment. Matthew and Luke align the details of Jesus' birth with the Old Testament prophecy to show that he was the long-awaited Messiah. And when most research, if you're researching something, most of the time the professors are going to ask you, take the topic, tell me the topic, and prove that it is true. And much of what we find in the Old Testament can be proven in the New Testament. The angel Gabriel announced to Mary and Luke, chapters 1:31-33, echoes the Old Testament's promise of a king who reigned forever. Gabriel declared, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. So in everything, let's just kind of like do a recap to see if I was listening. The recap, the birth of Jesus bridged together the Old and New Testament, showing how the promise of the former are fulfilled in the latter. And we can say that those promises that were stated in the Old Testament, that they definitely were fulfilled. The connection enriches the understanding of Jesus as the Messiah and underscores the flow of God's plan of salvation. By fulfilling Old Testament prophecies, Jesus' birth confirms the reliability of the scripture and faithfulness of God's offering. Believers are a firm foundation for their faith. The prophets in the Old Testament were not fully aware of all detail. How could they? This was just something just over their head entirely, and it's over our head too. Surrounding the birth of Jesus, many people say this cannot be. This is fairy tale. This is something that was made up. They hoped for and anticipated the arrival of the Messiah, God's chosen one, who would fulfill the divine promises to Israel and the world. Their hopes were deeply rooted in the understanding of God's covenant with his people and were shaped by divine revelation. And all these people had in the Old Testament was their covenant with God. They didn't have any other proof. They just believed, and they believed strongly in their covenant with God. And in ending, When we're writing a story, usually you're asked to write a beginning, a middle, and an end. So the birth of Jesus, we know, comes from the Old Testament. That is the beginning. And the middle part is the Old Testament, is a New Testament. Now, the third part hasn't yet been written. Why? Because Jesus had to return. And he's going to do the writing for that. And in closing, one of my favorite clergymen, Max Lucado, I'm going to give you two of his views on what the birth of Christ is for him. And the first one is titled, God Came Near. His first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, callous, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hope, no party. For 33 years, he would feel everything you and I have ever felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He was afraid of failure. He was susceptible to the wounds of women. He got cold. He burped. And he had body odor. Max Lucado's second take on the birth of Christ is entitled Hope in the Birth of Christ. Because of Bethlehem, I have a Savior in heaven. Christmas begins where Easter celebrates. The child in the cradle became the king on the cross. Because of Bethlehem, I can look at death and say, you lose. Because of Bethlehem, I can look at my struggles and say, God is with me.